And a very pleasant to good Lord's Day morning, wherever you may be. It's a beautiful day here as of right now. The sun is shining, skies are blue, and enjoying the beauty of spring as everything buds and blossoms, and we get a sense of renewal. The only problem is we are kind of stuck in this situation that we all face that none of us have ever faced before. And this is our fifth week, fifth Sunday coming through this particular medium. Our church family is watching this through Zoom. And we're thankful to those who are technically oriented who can set this up. I'm certainly not. But I appreciate those who are, and we have a good number of our church family that are worshiping together this morning and following this particular Facebook Live. Then we will all continue our worship together as a church family. But we're glad that you have joined us wherever you are and whatever time zone that you're in this morning. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible. Go ahead and turn it to the 23rd Psalm. And I am well aware that most of us know this particular psalm by memory, but I want to just read it with you and refresh our minds, because as I'm thinking about what would be the need today, I just go back to the 23rd Psalm, and I think it speaks to where all of us are. Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, it is so very easy for all of us to get bogged down into the same old rut and routine of life. Especially is that true during these days that we have experienced for the past month or so. And you know, often it is a simple song that just lifts our spirits. Sometimes it might be an old favorite. Sometimes it may be a new favorite. I have a Facebook friend, Karen Sandusky, in Columbus, Indiana. And every morning she plays a piano piece. She is a teacher. And she plays a piano piece from one of the classics or one more. Some mornings she'll do Disney. The other day she played that piece from called The Entertainer from, I think it was the theme music behind that movie, The Sting, several years ago. And when she plays, it's just a simple song that adds a little oil to the daily grind that we all face. But the best songs have always been God's songs. And in Scripture, the Holy Spirit has given us a collection of 150 of them. Songs of victory and hope, songs of strength and songs of courage, and all of them are faith builders. Paul writes in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, and he says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. It's not any wonder that whenever you and I go through difficult times, we tend to go back to the Psalms for good reason. Because the Psalms capture what it means to walk with God. The Psalms represent a poetic expression that just emanate from the heart of man and that reveal our hope in God. And I guess our favorite, the favorite of most people, if you were to take a poll, would probably be the Shepherd's Song, Psalm 23. You know, sometimes we wrestle with a lack of sleep. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm lying there and I start saying the 23rd Psalm over and over again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And usually by the time I've said that, maybe about the third time, that's the last I can remember. And like a child that falls asleep into the arms of a parent, so we relax and we fall asleep in the arms of our Father. But the irony of the 23rd Psalm is that the psalm is written from the viewpoint of a sheep. It's as if a sheep is thinking about his life among the flock. This sheep is thinking about the goodness of the shepherd. So before we get into the particular words, let's do a little sheep 101. Let me give you five truths that we can learn about sheep. I've never raised sheep. I've raised other livestock, goats and cows and horses and dogs and all of those. I never raised sheep, but I can read and I can learn from those who have. And I learned basically five things that are unique about sheep. Number one, sheep are unable to take care of themselves. Sheep aren't the smartest animals that's out there. They require a lot of attention, a lot of care. You know, sheep tend to be fearful and timid and sometimes stubborn. Does that sound like anybody you know? Sheep tend to be creatures of habit, often bad habits. Does that sound like anybody you know? Sheep, when left to themselves, tend to wander off helplessly, not pay attention to where they're going, and get lost. Does that sound like anybody you know? But that all falls under the umbrella that sheep are unable to care for themselves. They need a shepherd. Secondly, sheep are virtually defenseless. Most animals come with some kind of means of self-defense. Some animals have claws, some animals have sharp teeth, some animals have speed in order to get away from a predator, but not sheep. Have any of you ever been frightened by the angry growl of a sheep? You know, football teams are often named after tough animals. You know, the lions and the tigers and the bears. Can you hear some announcer in some stadium say, "Let's all get on our feet and stand and cheer. Here come the fighting sheep." No, because sheep are just, they're not that kind of animal. They're virtually defenseless. Number three, sheep are easily frightened. That's why sheep stay close to the shepherd. Oh, the analogies in all of these are just obvious. Number four, sheep are unable to find food and water on their own. A lot of animals have a built-in instinct or maybe a very keen sense of smell, but not sheep. Sheep depend totally, totally upon the shepherd. And last, number five, sheep bear the mark of their shepherd. I think of Paul's statement in Galatians 6 and verse 17 when he said, "I bear on my body the brand mark of Jesus." And there's a sense that we do too. Psalm 100 and verse 3 says, "We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture." The Lord is my shepherd. And so it is, this psalmist speaks as a sheep who has loving admiration and a great sense of pride as to who his shepherd is. It's as if he looks around at all of the other flocks and he sees their shepherds are unfit. And he proclaims very admiringly, "The Lord is my shepherd." Because David is the author here. David had the experience of shepherding sheep. And he knew that the welfare of a flock depended upon the shepherd. And so he could look and he could see, here is a flock of sheep and they're struggling and they're starving and they're suffering. And here's another flock of sheep and they're flourishing and they're thriving. What makes the difference? The shepherd makes all the difference. And so he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, that's the key thought of the whole song. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have want of nothing. Look, just kind of peruse with me for a moment. He says, I have no lack of rest. Why? Because he makes me lie down in green pastures. I have no lack of peace. Why? Because he leads me beside the quiet waters. I have no lack of encouragement. Why? Because he restores my soul. I have no lack of guidance. Why? Because he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I have no lack of courage. Why? Because even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, by the way, I have a marginal reading there. Literally, the valley of deep darkness. Even though I walk through the valley of deep darkness, I fear no evil. I have no lack of courage. I have no lack of companionship. Why? For you are with me. I have no lack of provision. Why? Because you prepare a table before me. I have no lack of protection. Why? Because that table happens to be in the presence of my enemies. I have no lack of abundance. Why? Because, he says, you prepare a table before me and have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. And I have no lack of security, because surely goodness and loving kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, it all goes back to what he says in the very first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So the question this morning is, who is your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? When you are faced with uncertain times, difficult times, times of anxiety and concern and worry, where do you turn? Sometimes we turn to everybody else except the very one who can provide our needs and calm our souls. So let's go through this just quickly and briefly. Look at the word pictures he paints in this psalm. Verse 2. He makes me lie down. You know, when our kids were little, an amazing thing occurred. They never got tired. They never got tired. I mean, every time you would look at them and they would be yawning and almost about to fall asleep, you would say to them, you look tired. Oh, no, I'm not tired. Because if a kid admits he or she is tired, oh, the parent might suggest, why don't you take a nap? And so sometimes a parent, especially when a child is small, sometimes the parent has to make their child lie down. Guess what? We're a lot like that. And maybe, in some ways, God is making us lie down. You know, in Psalm 46 and verse 10, he says, be still and know that I am God. Lie down. Pause. Now, I can also read about sheep, that sheep do not lie down unless, well, they have freedom from four things. Sheep do not lie down unless they are free from four things. Number one, they have to be free from fear. Livestock usually does, they just don't lie down unless they feel totally secure. Because once an animal lies down, they're in a sense of helplessness at that point. And so the very picture of sheep lying down means the shepherd is near and the shepherd is providing security. It's kind of like when you were a child and maybe you were afraid of the dark and maybe you were scared at night, and yet you could go to sleep because you knew that your parents were nearby, and you knew that you were protected by them. Or maybe you would walk alone in the dark as long as you held the hand of your dad, or you held the hand of your mom. It's easy to be afraid. It's easy to have troubled hearts. It's easy to lie down at night and our minds just race in 101 different directions. You know, some people say, well, you know, I count sheep. I never have figured out how to do that. I think the better thing would be, instead of counting sheep, the better thing would be to talk to the shepherd, because he's the only one that can calm our anxiousness. Sheep have to be free from fear to lie down. Sheep have to be free from rivalry. Sometimes sheep can become quite competitive and try to one up the other, outdo the other, gain control of the grazing. And so there's rivalry and friction. And that's where the shepherd comes in. The shepherd changes all of that. The shepherd has a calming effect among all of the sheep. You know, sometimes the world behaves like a flock of sheep. The world says, be aggressive, be assertive. And of course, none of that has been going on in the last 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, there's nobody going to the stores and being aggressive and assertive and emptying the shelves of anything. That's not happening, is it? Listen, our shepherd has a calming effect, or should have a calming effect upon all of us. Three times in Matthew chapter 6, in the midst of that mountain message, Jesus said, do not be anxious. There's a song that we sing, fear not, little flock, says the Savior divine. God will take care of us. Freedom from fear, freedom from rivalry, freedom from aggravation. If you've ever been around livestock in the summer, you know that insects just buzz around their face, making it just virtually impossible for them to rest. Let me ask you a question. Anybody bug you? Anybody bug you? Anybody a source of just constant irritation? The antidote is not some kind of spray. The antidote is Scripture. The antidote is the shepherd behind the Scripture. Freedom from irritation and freedom from hunger. That's why the shepherd leads us to green pastures. And that's what our shepherd does. He's the bread of life. Matthew 4 and verse 4. Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's why Scripture is so vital and so important to feed our souls. And then he says, he leads me beside the quiet waters. Do you know that sheep instinctively are afraid of running water? And I'll tell you why that is. If you wore a heavy wool coat, I don't think you'd want to jump in heavy in running water either. Because if a sheep falls into water, they're going to drown. But that's when the shepherd steps in. And the shepherd builds a small dam, or he arranges the stones in such a way to arrange for a quiet pool and a safe place for the sheep to drink. And the point is, that's what our God does for us. Our God calms our chaos. He's the only one who can. Verse 3, he restores my soul. And why is that important? Because like sheep, we have a bad habit of wandering away. Sheep sometimes are oblivious to danger. And sadly, so are we. I read this paragraph, and I don't remember who wrote this, but the author said, after a shepherd continually has to go find a wandering sheep, he's forced to take drastic action in order to save the sheep's life. And so the shepherd, and I know this sounds horrible, but the shepherd lovingly breaks one of the hind legs of the sheep. And then the shepherd lovingly sets that leg. And then the shepherd lovingly puts that sheep on his shoulders, and he carries that sheep wherever he needs to go. And in the process, the sheep hopefully learns a very valuable lesson: to depend upon the shepherd. You know, there's another song that we sing, and I don't remember the name of the song, but there's a line in that song that says, bind my wandering heart to thee. And why is that important? Isaiah 53 and verse 6, because all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. So the question is, are you staying near the shepherd, or are you straying in areas that you don't need to be in? Look at the end of verse 3. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Solomon says in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Not every path will take us where we need to go. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talked about the broad path that everybody tends to follow, but he also talked about a narrow way, a narrow path that we need to seek. And how does God guide us? How do you find that narrow path? Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's how you find it. He guides me. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. And then verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or the valley of deep darkness. Let me tell you what this, I think this is a picture of. I think this is a picture of summertime. When the shepherd, up until this time, during the months of spring, the shepherd has been having his flock graze down in the valley. And now as the warm temperatures of summer rise, he takes his flock up into more of the high country. We sing a song about that. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. But there's only one way to reach the higher ground, and that's to go through the valley. And all of us do from time to time. We have valleys of disappointment. We have valleys of loss. We have valleys of heartache. And so how am I going to get through the valley in order to reach that higher ground? There's only one way. You got to stay with the shepherd. And he says, because of that, I have no fear, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. The rod was a club, a big club the shepherd would keep nearby in case a wild animal, a predator, should begin to encircle his flock. The staff, well, we've all seen pictures of that. I can't help but think of little Bo Peep and her staff with the little crook on the end. The staff would kind of gently nudge the sheep and guide them as they kind of meandered along. Thy rod comforts me. Thy staff comforts me. And then he says, you prepare a table before me. As the sheep begin to go to higher ground, they reach more of the higher plateaus. If you've ever been out west, you hopefully have seen the mesas. Sometimes they're called the table land. You look in the distance and there's a sharp rise, and then it's flat on top. And it's called the table land. And maybe that's what he has reference to here. But the point is, as the shepherd takes the sheep into the higher ground, the shepherd prepares that area. In other words, he makes sure it is suitable, and he checks for enemies in the presence of my enemies. Sheep have a lot of enemies, wolves and mountain lions and coyotes and bears. And so the shepherd makes sure that as the sheep begin to graze in those new areas, that those predators are not around. Or if they are, the shepherd's job is to scare them off. And then he says, you have anointed my head with oil. I just, in my mind, I think that is an insect repellent in order to allow the sheep to be free from irritants. And then he says, my cup overflows. I think this is a picture of now the fall season of the year, when the sheep have been well fed and well watered and well cared for. And it's like now it's time to start the journey back down from the tablelands, back down from the upward ways. Because as fall moves into closer into the winter time, The temperatures get colder and colder. So now it's time to come back down. And as the shepherd leads the flock to lower elevations, you have a flock of well-fed sheep. And he says, surely goodness and loving kindness follow me all the days of my life. It's the picture of the flock of sheep coming down from the upper lands. And somebody even suggested these are God's sheepdogs that follow and herd the sheep along. Goodness and mercy. And then he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And now it is winter, and the flock, they have returned to the shepherd's home. And there they will winter until spring. And the shepherd will continue to take care of them through this season of time, just as he has through all of the others. But I want you to notice something. Maybe you have it. Mark this in your Bible. Verse 1, this psalm begins with the words, the Lord. And this psalm ends with the words, the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the point is, there is no shepherd like this shepherd. I've had this piece of paper sitting on my desk for, I don't know, the last month or so. And I just, as we close this morning, and I don't know who wrote this. I have no idea. But this was their observation. I think it's good. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not want. That's supply. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leads me beside the quiet waters. That's refreshment. He restores my soul. That's healing. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake, that's purpose. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. I will fear no evil. That's protection. For thou art with me. That's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. That's discipline. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's consecration. My cup runneth over. That is abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security forever. And that is eternity. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the day that you have given us. We pray that you will be with all of us as we pass through these difficult times, be with every family, be with every individual. May we lift up our eyes to you. May we understand that you are our shepherd and you lead us where you need us. And we pray that you will use us, not only now, but during any time, that we might look beyond ourselves and see others that we can serve. We thank you for your son, Jesus, and for the hope that we have, and for the first day of resurrection that makes all of this possible. And even though we pause now, Father, and we remember the death of your son, help us to also view the hope that we have because of the empty tomb. Bless all of those among your people who are struggling. And there are some, Father, who are sick, and some have the COVID-19 and they're struggling. We pray for them. We pray for their loved ones. We especially pray for our brethren in hard-hit areas like New York and other places around the world where there has been so much struggling. We pray that you will lift them physically. We pray that you will lift them emotionally and help all of us to be aware of the needs of each other, not only here, but in every place. We pray that you will forgive us of our sins. Help us to be kind with one another. Help us to be patient. And above all, help us to put our trust in you. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope that you will make it a great first day, a wonderful Lord's Day, and that you enjoy the opportunities that God provides for us. Have a good day.